Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack, and take a step on back, and go to a meeting, and keep coming back, and then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLASLACRRMDRAHAPA.
CGA.
CGA, CGI, NASA.
CLA.
CLA, CCCV, NBA, CIA, MLB.
CIA.
NSA.
Somebody needs to speak for them.
Yeah. TSA. Shelley will speak for the TSA.
I will speak to the TSA in a very stern voice.
Why?
Because they are mad with power, and they're trampling all over people.
By the way.
What?
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. With?
Shelley.
And Mark.
Awesome. So, a little while ago, we were discussing cereal. What's your favorite cereal, Mark? You mentioned there's a new one, but I don't know if you've had it yet.
I haven't had it yet, because my favorite cereal is Honey Nut Cheerios. But I have heard that chocolate sugar frosted flakes are the best cereal on the planet. That's just what I've heard.
We have a box of Honey Nut Cheerios to give you.
A whole unopened box.
A brand new box.
Okay.
Shelley?
Yeah.
What's your favorite cereal?
Because I bought it by accident. I thought that was the one he liked, but he likes the multigrain. He doesn't like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay.
So.
I like Honey Nut.
Cocoa Pebbles. Gotta be Cocoa Pebbles. Not Cocoa Krispies. I don't want any stinking fake
Cocoa Puffs? No, not Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, I love Cocoa Puffs. But we'll go into the cereal aisle, and you know, Cocoa Pebbles will be $4.87 a box.
And everything else
I'll be down there looking at Cocoa Krispies or two boxes for $4, and I'm like, you know what, Cocoa Krispies? No, it's got to be Cocoa Pebbles.
I would rather eat smaller bowls of the cereal that I like than eat a big bowl of the cheap cereal.
It's not cheap. It's on sale.
Yeah.
Either way.
That's different.
They're the same.
My favorite cereal of all time?
They are totally not the same.
My favorite cereal of all time, you probably won't even guess. Shelley, what's my favorite cereal of all time?
Cream of Wheat.
Cream of Wheat. That's my favorite.
How long have we been
together?
That's
a hot cereal,
that's
cold
my,
cereal.
Yeah, cold cereal.
Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious. What can you say?
I used to have pajamas that had the little Lucky Charm guy on it that said magically delicious.
I have a pair of boxers that say magically delicious on them. Ha, ha, ha.
We matched. It was too cute.
Is it right across the front or the back?
The front.
The front.
Okay. Hell yeah. Actually, I saw a thong online the other day, and it had an NA symbol on the front of the thong, and it said, keep coming. It didn't say keep coming back. It just said keep coming.
And why were you looking at thongs online?
It was someone's post. It was someone had a post from Facebook, so I wasn't really...
Did it say back on the back?
No, because I don't think there's anywhere really much on the back to write anything.
Oh, that's true. It's a thong, isn't it?
Thong, 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 thong. Oh.
What?
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Bill, Phil, Donald, Fran, Brian.
And Bruce.
Robert, Greg, Bruce, Mark. Mark.
Do you remember?
Jimmy.
Do you remember why from Bruce?
Mike isn't here anymore. What?
He doesn't care. She doesn't care.
Two stories. They're on the, if you open up Firefox, there's two stories up there.
Okay, I haven't read these stories.
Go over there to the right. There's one right there.
New York City canceled the last day of the Electric Zoo. It's a music festival on Randall's Island? I don't know what this is.
It's a big music festival that they don't do bands. They're all like DJs, like Skrillex and guys like that. Huge thing, like 100,000 people. Yeah. They had two ODs from Molly's, which is... It says
it is an illegal drug. It's MDMA. It's a kind of adulterated MDMA, it looks like.
Right. It's like ecstasy mixed with other stuff. Killed two people. So they decided to...
Stop the concert.
Yes.
Wow, and this was in where?
New York City.
New York.
Oh, Mayor Nanny decided to pull the plug.
I'm surprised they even allowed the concert.
So. And then what's the other one? Big news today.
Oh yeah, David Frost died.
Yeah.
It's a British.
Best known
broadcaster.
For
the Frost Nixon
interview with Nixon.
Yeah. He was 74 years old.
Had a heart attack.
He had a heart attack.
Allegedly.
Allegedly? Why allegedly?
Allegedly.
Just
yeah.
as heart
Yeah, what
attack.
Do you know, Mark?
Yeah, what do you know, Mark?
Nothing.
What'd your friends in the NSA say?
Nothing.
He had a heart attack when that bullet went through his chest.
No, so, our condolences
to his family. Those were my contributions.
And our condolences to his family. Whoops, I just closed the wrong thing.
That's okay.
What am I doing here? Oh, here we go. Okay, there's mine. In Effingham County, Georgia.
Effingham?
Effingham.
Effingham.
Yes.
I'm in light of an Effingham, baby.
Effingham.
The dateline on the story was today, which is the 1st of September. In the last 24 hours, that means from August 31st to September 1st, eight people were hospitalized from taking a new, unregulated substance that people are calling Crazy Clown.
Okay.
Now, you can smoke it, but commonly it says it's burned in a small bowl like incense, and people inhale the fumes. And it's sold in like convenience stores, like the bath salts were. Huh. You know, they sell it as an herbal incense.
Yeah, folks, quit like taking herbal incense, okay?
Yeah, quit taking drugs that you get at convenience stores. If you're going to take drugs, you might as well get them from a dealer.
Yeah,
buy them behind the convenience store.
Oh, here you go. Here's your tip of the day from Shelly in Recovery 101. Yeah. If you're going to do drugs, just buy them from a dealer.
I'm not serious.
That way you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better yet, go rip off a pharmacy.
There you go. Drugstore cowboys.
There you go.
Yeah, it is. It causes the early symptoms before you get hospitalized are nausea, vomiting, dry mouth, weakness, cardiac problems, and partial paralysis.
Oh, man, so they work just like real drugs.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow, that was a good night for me.
You know what that reminds me of? It's like when you're watching, they've got some new drug out, whatever it is, some drug for restless leg syndrome or something, and then they throw the disclaimer on there, you know, may cause hives, nausea, vomiting, and sometimes death. And I'm like, wow, when the possible side effect is death, that's something I'm not that interested in taking.
Death is not a side effect, by the
way. Yeah, no.
Death is an effect.
Yeah, that's an effect.
Well, so anyway, I guess eight people and, some are still in intensive care.
But it'll stop your legs from trembling.
It will.
Some were in intensive care, but I think two of them died. I cut off part of the story. But apparently eight people in 24 hours does trigger the CDC descending on your town. Like
lucky thing that wasn't in New York.
I noticed that someone I knew in the program tested positive the other day for Special K. You know what Special K is? It's a frickin' horse tranquilizer.
Yeah.
And I looked at this girl and I said, A, you are not a horse.
Ketamine.
Ketamine, that's what it is. Yeah. You are not a horse. You do not need a tranquilizer that's made for an animal that's 1,500 pounds. And you're 110 pounds. I don't think that's a good combo. It's horrible.
In Salt Lake City.
Utah.
Let me guess. It's from Brian?
Yes. Jamie Cleghorn was a fugitive. Actually wanted in several states. Also wanted in Wyoming and Alabama. On a combined total of 38 felony charges and 5 misdemeanor charges.
Wow.
What was she doing?
all kinds of crap. Bail jumping, identity theft, theft by deception, possession of a controlled substance. My favorite one that she was, not favorite, but the one that disturbs me is giving pornography to children under 10 years old. Now, there's actually two different laws for over 10 and under 10?
Yeah.
Yes. That makes no sense.
Yeah. 10 and 14 seem to be two major numbers.
Yeah.
Well, she apparently has some mental issues.
Well.
When they finally tracked her down, they did find her. She had escaped from a University of Utah hospital where she was being treated for her mental issues. She escaped from the hospital. They found her not too far away, hiding under a blanket.
Oh, yeah, that works.
Yeah, because, you know, if you can't see them, they can't see you.
Yeah, and let me tell you, if they're using a helicopter with the thermal thing, they're going to see you under the blanket.
Yeah, really.
You want to hear something really disturbing? If you look up, I saw this as a Facebook post too, and I had no idea. If you look up age of consent laws in the United States,
yeah.
I thought it was pretty standardly 18.
Nope.
And there's hardly any states that are 18.
Yep.
It's like Nevada's like 16 or 15.
Georgia's 13.
Yeah,
California's 17.
No, it's 18.
Oh, it's 18.
There's
18,
a bunch of states that are like 14.
Yeah.
I was like, really? And most of them are down south, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in Georgia, your family tree runs in a straight line.
Totem pole.
You go to the family reunion to pick up chicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kidding about that, people from Georgia.
Went to a family wedding. They said, bride side or groom side? I said, doesn't matter. Both.
Both.
Okay, now we have an update to a story we did a while back. Do you remember the guy that was arrested for trying to break into jail? It was a while back. His name is Matthew Matagrano. He's 36 years old. He repeatedly would pose as a correction officer and try to sneak back into the Manhattan Detention Center.
Oh, I remember that.
He would hang out with the inmates. He'd bring in cigarettes and hand them out. He'd do a couple of, you know, contract assaults on various inmates that people on the outside wanted roughed up.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes, most of the time, he was breaking in just to hang out with
his friends and give them
cigarettes. He actually does have two convictions, one for sodomy and one for sexual abuse.
And both in jail.
I didn't know that sodomy was a crime in New York, but apparently it is.
Probably a crime in jail.
Because
it's probably rape.
So he has finally gotten his way. He will be spending the next 10 years in jail.
Huh.
He told the courts that the reason he kept trying to sneak into the jails were because that the people inside the jail were nice and they made him feel important. I have no frame of reference. I don't understand this guy at all.
He's institutionalized. He's probably spent enough time on the inside that he's more comfortable on the inside than the outside.
Wow.
You know how the joke goes. Guy gets into jail. Huge guy is his jailmate. And he goes, you know, having a cellmate's like being in a relationship. Now, do you want to be the man in this? Do you want to be the husband in this relationship? Or do you want to be the wife in this relationship? The guy thinks about it for a second. He goes, I want to be the husband. He goes, well, get down on your knees and suck your wife's dick.
I'm going to have to edit that out, aren't I?
No, you're not. It's the internet.
Yeah, that was... yeah, okay. Anyway,
I think
it's
a great joke.
Well, you would. Here's one. The National Institute on Drug Abuse.
We have one of those?
Yes, we do. The NIDA. They're doing studies. They have gotten, and there was funding, $2 million in federal funding available for this.
$2 million.
Million.
Yes.
Dollars.
Million. Because they want to find a link between cannabis consumption and domestic violence.
Well, they're not going
to
find it.
If you don't consume enough cannabis, you're...
Yeah, they're not. I don't think they're going to find it.
Well, yeah, there's less violence.
Yeah, that'll be the link, is that there's less violence.
Their theory they're going on is they believe that that's a fallacy. They believe that actually people who smoke a lot of pot beat the crap out of their wives or husbands or whatever. So they are attempting...
I don't buy it.
Because they stole their pot.
So they have $2 million with which they're going to try to attempt to prove this. However, other researchers have chimed in and said this is a big waste of money. because
unlike most of the other stuff they do.
I know, but when you have other researchers telling you, okay, all the research says that you are wrong, you might think you want to try a different tack.
Yeah, I think my big crime when I was really loaded was sitting on the couch saying, "Can you bring me some more zingers?"
Yeah,
maybe, I'm busy watching reruns of Gilligan's Island.
Maybe in areas where there's a lot of pot smoking, there's a measurable increase in the amount of Cheetos thefts. But
yeah,
other than that, I don't know. Yeah. Not that I'm saying that pot is an awesome, wonderful thing and we should all go out and smoke it, because we shouldn't, because it is a gateway drug.
Yeah, it is. Big-ass gateway.
Yes. Now, let's see. Oh, this one was this is an Ouchiwawa situation.
A what?
Ouchiwawa. Like,
do we need to cross our legs?
No, not that kind of Ouchiwawa. University of Toledo, Toledo, Ohio.
Okay.
They are getting the proverbial crap suit out of them.
Okay.
Sarah A. Fudaz went in for a kidney transplant. She had been on the list for a long time. She only had one kidney. It was failing. Mm-hmm. Her name came up on the list. Yay, she's finally going to get her kidney. Didn't immediately find a match. They went through her family. Her brother was a match. Her brother donates the kidney right before the minutes before the surgery. She's on the table and open. A nurse throws away the kidney.
Oops.
Yeah, because the kidneys are packed in slush bags to keep them fresh. She threw out the slush bag. Didn't check to see if the kidney was still in it.
Oh.
By the time they found the kidney, it was not salvageable.
Oh.
So now the brother is down a kidney.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, he can live with it, but nobody wants to give up a kidney if you don't have to. I mean, right. You know. And she...
has no kidney.
She has no kidneys. She's on dialysis. She was on dialysis for months. Uh-huh. They finally found a match that was reasonably close, but because it wasn't as close as her brother's, now she's got to be on anti-rejection drugs, you know,
right,
for the rest of her life. Or as long as the kidney
But on the good
lasts.
Side, she's rich.
No, because the hospital's fighting it. They said they're not liable. They're
not liable for their person throwing away the kidney?
Yeah.
How do you claim that?
The nurse that did it has resigned. And they fired another nurse who was her supervisor, who wasn't even working that day, who is now also suing the hospital for wrongful termination. Yeah, so it's just, the whole thing is a major cluster hoo-ha.
Cluster F?
Yes.
From Effingham, England?
No, it's not Effingham, England. It was University of Toledo.
I know.
Toledo, Ohio.
Okay. One last one from Bellingham, Washington.
I've been there.
I have too.
Yes, 36-year-old David Wayne Jordan. Three names.
That means it's a drug thing.
A sheriff's employee saw a guy, this guy, get out of his pickup truck right outside the jail and launch an arrow toward the windows on the jail's second floor recreation area. It missed. It landed on the roof. And they went and got the arrow that had marijuana taped around it. So he was trying to fire marijuana into the jail. So they apprehended him. When asked...
It wasn't my arrow.
Yeah, when asked what he was doing, he told the deputies that he had been aiming at a squirrel. He could not explain why he needed to attach marijuana to the arrow in order to hunt the squirrel.
He heard it was a more humane way.
He wanted to calm the squirrel down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's the dumb criminal of the week. I don't know.
Yes.
And that is, yes, we're at time. That is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Shelley, come on, chime
in. Welcome back.
To the same old place that you laughed about.
Yes, I do laugh about this place on a regular basis.
So, Shelley, we have a topic.
We do.
What is it?
I came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
I've done that.
Me too.
Who's leading that music by?
Yeah.
Awesome, we're done. Ooh. Good, because I'm tired.
Step two, baby. As we stated a couple shows ago, we go through the steps about once a year. We did step one a couple shows ago. We're on step two. Just so people don't get too bored with the program, we put a different show in between. But in the next few weeks, we'll go through all the steps again.
Okay, that presupposes you're assuming that the steps are boring.
Steps are not boring. Steps are exciting.
No.
But when
you say
we put a different show in between each step so people won't get bored?
Well, first of all, I didn't say bored.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay. So, Shelley.
What?
Why do we put a different show in between? Because what is the reason behind that?
The reason behind that is because doing the steps once a year is a convenient way to get 12 show topics, so we like to stretch it out.
Okay,
variety
good enough.
Variety is the spice of life.
So, Mark.
What?
Step two, how'd you do it? How'd you come to believe?
It was the second part of what we shared when we did step one, which was the surrender part of step one. Acceptance, for me, was part of step two. Just, you know. I have to come to believe that the stuff I did out there that got me here was pretty freaking nutty.
That, yes. I'm just guessing that's true.
It was pretty freaking nutty. So, I've got to believe that left to my own thinking, that I'm pretty freaking nuts. So, I got to turn it over to something greater than myself to get rid of the nuttiness.
Now, how did you do that? I mean, what was the... I want to say the catalyst, but, you know, I mean, when we first come in, you know, when someone says you got to turn this all over to something you may or may not even believe is there, I mean, what was the thing that made you come to believe?
They told me I had to in order to stick around.
That was it.
I mean,
that's all it takes.
Yeah. Like I said, I had a death grip on my chair. I wasn't leaving. I was sick enough and tired enough and desperate enough to do whatever they told me to do around here.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Sick and tired of feeling like I was going to die but not having the guts to do so.
How about you, Shelley?
Which?
How did you come to believe?
Oh, how did I come to believe? I already actually had belief before I got here. I was lucky. A lot of people come into the program, you always hear, I'm a recovering Catholic. Or some such, you know, well, I went to church when I was a kid, but I don't like organized religion.
I'm a raging agnostic.
Yeah, you hear a lot of that. Because secretly, I think that we all think we're God. Mm-hmm. There's like a little part of our mind that thinks, you know, I do this better than everybody else. But I was lucky. I came in with a God. Pushing and shoving. My problem was that once I got here with my God, I found that the connection I thought I had was not as deep as I thought it was. I had a Sunday God.
An Easter Christmas god?
The CMEers, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter.
I had a convenience store god.
Yes, exactly.
The 7-Eleven god.
And it didn't carry me through the early days of my recovery, and I had kind of a spiritual crisis at that point. And as much as I love my church, that was not where my final connection to God came from. It came from the program. And it came from the whole act of surrender and acceptance and that whole, yep. the whole, you know, 1-2-3 waltz that you do in the beginning. Yep. That's where it
surrender,
happens.
Surrender, acceptance, you know? And willingness.
Yeah.
We'll get there later.
And as each day, successive day went by, and I was still sober, and I had gotten to past the point where I was able to give my disease to God and turn that over to God, and I was still sober, and I wasn't having fits every day. It became a lot easier for me to connect with God, because suddenly it wasn't so much that God did something for me. It was more of a, you know, once I'd finally decided that God was in charge, mm-hmm. and it was not my decision whether I was going to drink or not. Life got real simple, you know, and the realization of God became, I don't want to say it flowered in that sense.
Yeah. The guy one time told me he was an atheist. I said, really? He said, swear to God.
I remember it slightly different for you.
Why? Which part? I sort of contracted or compacted things a bit.
Well, you don't get to do her four step for two more shows.
Well, no. I remember Shelley being at the Long Beach Aquarium.
Yes.
Oh, the jellyfish.
Well, okay. That was before I got sober. I came in with a god.
Yeah.
Remember? And I had already been going to church. So,
but that's where you came to believe.
Yes, but that's...
Oh, it's a good storyteller.
It is.
Oh, again?
Love the jellyfish story.
There's people who are listening to these shows for the first time.
People. Don't forget, we got a million new listeners.
You know what's going to happen? Someday, God willing, I'll get like a bazillion years of recovery, and they're going to do a roast of me, and then they're all going to fight for who gets to do the jellyfish story, because I've told it so many times. Like you and your sleeping bag story.
There you go.
So, right before we got married...
I've already got the IV and the hospital story reserved.
I got the sleeping bag story.
Okay.
So, right before we got married, Bruce and I got married, I had agreed, even though I was hesitant to do it, but he demanded that we get married in front of a minister. I was a little reluctant because, you know, making promises in front of God, even if you're agnostic, is a little scary. So I wasn't all that excited about it. But we went to the Long Beach Aquarium. We took the kids down there for the day. And they had this exhibit of jellyfish. And just, oh, it was so beautiful. There were tons of tanks of different kinds of jellies and stuff. And there was one tank I go over, and there's these little baby umbrella jellies. And there's nothing else in the tank. Just this sort of slightly blue, you know, water, this backlight and the whole thing. And these little white umbrella jellies going up and down. And they were so intensely perfect. And I was standing there looking at them, and it was an actual physical event for me. I had to hold myself
up
against...
She almost fell over.
Yeah, I had to hold myself up against the wall because it suddenly... I mean, it was like, bam, right in my head. You know, these things have existed exactly the way they are for millions of years. And it was as if I was looking at something and God had put his finger on it and said, this is done. I am done with this. It's perfect. It does exactly what I want it to do. The human things need some work. But this is done. You know, in all of the things that he makes, that he's done with certain things, and that was one of them. So the realization that, yes, there was a God, I'd been wandering around in my little agnostic bubble for a long time. Yeah, and it was like the whole day was in this fog. I was like crying half the day and couldn't talk, and it was an interesting event.
Hmm. Now, way before I came in the program... And this is really strange when I think about it now, but when I was a kid, I remember once, I don't know, I was really into watching like vampire movies and this and that, and the whole thing of, you know, you wear the cross, you know, makes the vampires go away. And I remember one time, I was probably about 12 or 13 years old, and I prayed one night, and I said, you know, I would let God and the devil fight using me. Because I know God will win. Then I spent like the next, you know, 15 years in drug addiction. And I'm like, wow, be careful what you pray for.
Yeah.
But I was about, I was about 15, 16 years old, and Teddy, who wrote one of our jingles, we're going to Campus Life, and we're going to get saved. And, you know, they say, who wants to get saved? I raise my hand. I go up there. I'm up on the stage, and there's like a grip of people. I think it was at Citrus College, and it was in the auditorium, so there was like 1,000 people or more in there. And there were people up there that were, you could see that they were getting something. They're like raising their hand, and they're like, you could see that they were feeling something. And I wasn't feeling it. And I just, like, I don't know what it was, but I mean, I'm watching, like, Teddy's like, off. And everyone around me is like, off. And I'm like, acting like I'm off. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I remember leaving there, and I'm like, wow, I just didn't get it. And so when I got to the program, I was fairly agnostic. And I mean, I would read things like Albert Einstein was a believer in God, and he's a very scientific guy. And Albert Einstein said, if you can't prove something's not there, you have to believe it's there until it's proven that it's not there. And he said that, you know, for him, he'd believe in God because there was no proof that God didn't exist. And people would tell him, well, there's no proof he exists. He goes, but there's no proof he doesn't exist. And if that's the case, then that's the case. And I would intellectualize this and intellectualize that. And it wasn't until I was fiending for dope on the roof of the club. And, you know, I've told this story before on the show lots of times, too, where I went up to an old timer and I said, I can't get rid of the obsession. He goes, did you pray about it? And I said, I don't think that's going to work. And he looked at me the way an old-timer looks at you. He goes, I didn't even ask you if you thought it would work. I asked you if you did it. And I walked away from him. I'm like, you know, whatever. It's been 30 years since you drank. You don't remember what it's like. Instead of it's been 30 years since you drank, you probably know what you're talking about. And I white-knuckled it through the rest of the day. I'm on the roof in the morning. I am fiending. And I hit my knees. I said, oh, God, please don't let me get loaded today. And that was my entire prayer. I go down, I find this old timer, I run up to him, I go, Harvey, I prayed. I'm all excited. I prayed. And he looks at me and he goes, what, do you want a cookie? And I'm like, you know, I just had this major event, I prayed. And he's like, yeah.
That was a big step for me.
He's like, that's what I told you to do,
yeah.
To pray. And he goes, do that for 30 days and 30 nights. You thank God for you not getting loaded. And I tell people all the time, to this day, I don't even 100% know for a fact it was God.
But you don't know that it wasn't.
But I happen to be praying to God when the obsession went away, so I kind of go on that theory. I was also one of those guys, and a lot of people do this. You come around, you say God is like a group of drunks. Because I used to see other people stay sober, so I knew the group was a power greater than myself, and I used that at first. And it wasn't until the end of that 30 days when I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to accept that it works the way it works. So that was my experience. Now, what do you tell sponsees, Mark, if they're having a problem with the God thing?
I don't know. You know, it's all tied in so much for me, the first three steps. And I try to get them to that point as quick as I can where they're working the first three steps on a daily basis. You know, and that's just the surrender, acceptance, and willingness part of, you've got to make it a part of your life. You really do. You're not ready to move on till you do. You know, it's like everybody's in this great rush to get to the fourth step. And for me, I mean, I'll work people through the steps pretty quickly until they have a little time and they go back out and then they come back and ask me to sponsor them. Because you missed something early on.
Which, is, in a lot of cases, is probably the higher power thing.
Yeah, it's the surrender and the higher power thing. And so, you know, it all ties in. The second step for me is just, you know, first of all, you have to come to. It's the first two words in the step.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to believe. So, but coming to is a very important part. You got to become aware of the fact that there's something going on around you. Because I don't know about you, when I came in here the first couple of weeks, I don't think I was very aware of what was going on. I mean,
no.
I was going through the dance. You know, the music plays and you do what they tell you to do. But I don't think I was that aware. I kind of came to and realized that I can't be it. You know, I used to tell people I used to pray. I used to say, you know, the closer I get to God, the more I realize I am Him. So I had to kind of adjust that entire thinking.
I remember looking at step two thinking, there's no greater power than myself, and anyone who says so is insane.
Yeah.
How about you, Shelly? What do you tell sponsees that are having a problem?
Well, I hate to say this, but I have said on occasion when I've heard the "I just don't get it" whine one too many times, I have just said, you're going to have to get over that. Which I don't want to be so abrupt, but I mean, you really do.
So proud of you.
I tell the ones that you, usually I get the ones that don't have any concept of God, or it's just sort of this hazy, you know, white bearded guy sort of floating in the cloud somewhere. That to create a concept of their God, write a want ad for your higher power.
Ooh.
You know, higher power wanted, must have these qualifications. Must
mine,
you know,
look like Jenna Jameson? No, just kidding.
Nice.
I'm kidding.
I'm going to get away from you when the lightning strikes. you know, and come up with some concept, a concrete concept of it. You know, it's that part of it, the finding your higher power, whatever that is, however, whatever form that takes, is the crucial turning point for the entire thing. Because if you can't envision a higher power for yourself, you have no one to turn it over to. So you are still managing and controlling everything. And if you're still managing and controlling everything, you're still fighting it. And if you're still fighting it, you're not surrendering. If you're not surrendering, you're going to drink.
Nice.
You have to have that, even just a germ of a belief. It says in the 12 and 12, it talks about, you know, being willing to believe or whatever it is. You know,
right.
Even just being willing to sit there and... Because the thing I see is people, so many people go out, they do the 1-2-3 dance over and over and over again because they say, oh yeah, I prayed, I'm really getting in touch with my higher power. That's my personal favorite.
Oh,
they've got
God.
4 days sober and they're still in a recovery center and I'm really getting in touch with my higher power. And they do that whole, you know, nebulous, I get the feeling that they're like wind chimes in the background and somebody's, you know, burning patchouli. Exactly. They pay lip service to it. They never really believe it. They never really consciously decide that there is something that they've got to turn it over to.
It's almost like they hear everyone else saying you need that, so they go, oh, okay. Yeah,
okay, I have that now.
I have that.
Isn't that okay for a while?
And that's what I tell people. Just keep praying, even if you don't believe at this point. Yeah. But if we're getting closer and closer to the fourth step and they're still doing this, I don't believe, but I'm just doing it because you tell me to, yeah. I'm not so sure that's a good thing. You have to be able to turn it over. You have to be able to accept and surrender.
Well, yeah, because you can't do the fourth till you finish the third.
Right, I know, but a lot of people, I think one of the reasons why people go out is because they lip service their way through the first three because it's not as writing intensive, and then it just doesn't take.
So
it doesn't
work. So
they
just tell you, oh, yeah, I really believe, or I'm they're telling you I believe. Then you get them on the fourth step. Then they get loaded, and you're like, oh, so you're really believing, huh?
The second step is a linchpin, and if you don't have it, at some point you're going to be in trouble.
I tend to be Harvey-esque because there's some people I run into, they got no problem with a God concept. There's a lot of guys I've sponsored that have, they might be churchgoers, they have no problem, they've been saved, whatever their religion happens to be, they're good with that. You know, and usually my direction to them at that point is, why didn't you rely more on that God that you had? Why, you know, what we need to work with you is if you're very God conscious, why aren't you utilizing that? Why are you, yeah, you know, doing your own thing instead of that? Because then I get the other people and they come in and they're like, I'm completely agnostic. I don't believe it. I don't think it works. And then I go Harvey on them. I say, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At least for me, it didn't matter whether I believed or not. What it mattered is I took the action to do it.
Act as
along like what Mark said, you know, I didn't have a God consciousness, but someone told me, you just do it and you'll get it.
Yeah.
And I totally didn't believe him. And what really did it for me, and I'll share this with my guys, is at the end of 30 days of praying every day for God to remove the obsession and thanking him for 30 days that he removed it, my obsession went away. And that was one thing I could never get rid of. The reason I went in and out a million times is it's not even that I wasn't surrendering. I mean, I would surrender every time I went in the program. I'd be like, everything's fucked up. I got to go. I got to go to meetings. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then I'd get the casual thought of getting loaded. And that would sit there for about 30 seconds, and I would go right into obsession. And once I go into obsession, it's over for me. And what I found really helped me with that later was if I do the serenity prayer. If I get the thought of getting loaded, if I get the thought that a recreational, you know, eight ball would be nice, if I do the serenity prayer, it gets my mind out of that thing just long enough so I don't get that knee-jerk reaction to go into obsession.
I had a real fun one the other day. A guy that I sponsor came to me, and his higher power is maybe a little off the traditional track, but it really is his higher power. I mean, we've really talked about it. And he was talking with a friend of his in the program who's got some time, and he was talking about his higher power, and his friend said, have you told your sponsor what your higher power is? He goes, yeah. And he goes, then you need to get another sponsor if he lets you get away with that.
I got to know. I have to know.
What
is it?
He is, to me, it's God, because he is really into nature and into the things that go on in nature. And to me, that's an expression of God. But the way he identifies it is a little bit different. I don't care how he identifies it. He's real clear that's what it is.
Well, I used to know a guy, was an Indian guy. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing, his great spirit, was Mother Nature.
Yeah.
And I was asking him about it one time. I'm like, yeah, but it's Mother Nature. He goes, but Mother Nature is like God to you. He goes, that's what it is. Yeah. He goes, yeah, we call it the Great Spirit. But he goes, you know, it's God.
Yeah.
Shelley, what would your final words on step two be?
Get over it. No, I don't know. Take some time to, you know, not a ton of time here because, you know, we need to get through the steps. But take some time to make sure that you actually have a God concept, that you...
Whatever it is.
Whatever that concept is. I use the word God just because that's my higher power, but I mean, you know, whatever your higher power is. Because that's not, you know, not my job to do that, to pick that for you. But, you know, make sure you have that consciousness, that awareness going into step three. Because if you get a solid foundation in the first three, the fourth is like a dawdle, so walk in the park, you just do it. So...
Mark, final words.
All you need to do is be very clear that there is a God and you're not it.
God damn it, that's exactly what I was going to say. My final words are going to be, there is a God and I'm not he.
Yeah. Or she.
You know what? I will amend those and I'll do the Harvey thing. You know what? You pray about it. You pray. It doesn't matter if you think it'll work or not. Take the action. You know, take the body, the mind will follow. Shelley, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you in the post. You can subscribe.
Subscribe
it. He will send it. No, crap. You messed that up for me. You don't email it and
start
get it
over.
In the post. No, I'm not starting over. You can read it online. You can have it emailed to you. You can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town. You can also join the 12-Step Gazette group on Facebook. Number 12 and then the word Step Gazette.
That's true. You can. Mark, we got people listening to the show.
We do, and we appreciate that very much. If you're one of the... What's our numbers for the year?
I don't know. A grip.
A bazillion.
A grip.
Yeah.
We're ranked number one in L.A. today. So.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Really, we do, folks. We ask that you go to recovery101.net, which is our Podomatic site, because then you can go up there and you can play with all the stuff we ask you to play with, which is follow and get automatic updates when a new show is up. You can like shows. You can leave show topics. You can comment on things. You can beat the crap out of me on comments if you'd like. There's people who really enjoy that.
We had that.
And you can ask the playlists. And what? You laughed without a microphone in front of your face. Nobody even knew you were laughing.
Sorry. You said you were talking about people beating up on you.
Huh?
I just had this vision of us creating this little, you know, one of those little games that you, those little quickie games you play with the mouse. Instead of whack-a-mole, it'd be whack-a-mark.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Or angry addicts. They could just shoot at me. So, but anyway, go up and play and participate. And check out our sponsors, too. Click on their sites and go see who's helping bring this show to you. Thanks.
Awesome. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the fan page, which is Recovery 101 Radio. And actually, since we've been talking about that on the show, it is boosting itself quite quickly. Within like about maybe about 2 weeks, we went up to about 1,200 likes. So it's rocking right along. You can also join the Recovery 101 Radio group, which is a closed group. So if you are anonymously in recovery on Facebook, you can post in there your recovery crap, and no one will see it except for other people in that group. Let's see. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, it's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley! Who's the lead out music by?
Matt Land.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
That's all, folks.
And take care of you.
She is wrapped in beautiful, in everything she says and does. It makes me better, and how could I deserve an angel like this? God has shed his loving grace on me. I'm dying to tell you, I'm living to know you more. Underneath these stars tonight, I will show you. Looking deep into your eyes, I'll say I love you, beautiful. Beautiful. So there seems to be a million things in front of me, I know. But you're the only thing that makes me high. You've captured me, you're keeping me, and now I know that it's you I've been dreaming of. Underneath these stars tonight, I will show you. Looking deep into your eyes, I'll say I love you, beautiful. You're everything, you're taking me away from nowhere. Un-
underneath these stars, underneath these stars, deep into your eyes, I'll say I love you, beautiful. 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 Beautiful.